This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Good morning. I'm David Fair. Oil and gas leases are being signed all over the state. Energy companies are looking to lock up the rights to drill privately held properties throughout Michigan on state land, and that would include right here in Washtenaw County. What they seek is natural gas. It's cheap. It's abundant. But the manner in which it is extracted from the earth is certainly the subject of controversy. It's called hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. Environmental concerns abound when it comes to this process. This is WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. On the first Friday of every month, we take 20 minutes and explore an issue of environmental importance. My co-host for this segment is Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, our guest today, is referred to by some as the Erin Brockovich of fracking.
Yes, good morning, David. Jackie Rose is our guest today. Jackie is a paralegal who has specialized in civil litigation in Michigan for over 27 years. Jackie co-founded the Friends of the Augre Rifle Watershed, a volunteer group dedicated to educating the public and government officials responsibly about potential risks associated with deep shale, high-volume hydraulic fracturing. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa.
The Erin Brockovich of Michigan related to fracking, that's quite a statement. You've obviously thrown yourself into this issue and dedicated a lot of time to understanding what's going on. How did this all begin for you?
I'm flattered by that particular reference. I do admire Erin. We started getting into it in my area. I live in Iosco County. When landmen started knocking on the door trying to lease mineral rights in my area, I'm deep in the woods, and I really like my solitude, and I enjoy the nature there, and I was pretty horrified when I found out exactly what they were planning.
So what did you actually do in response to that?
My neighbors and I started educating ourselves on the process and also finding out what was going on in other states where it had been developed for a few more years now than it had. It just started in Michigan in 2010, I'm sorry. but it's been going on in the Marcellus Shale and in Texas and in North Dakota for several years now. So we got involved with some people in those states. We read a lot of studies, we read a lot of law, and we read a lot of regulations in Michigan. And then we started going out and talking to people about it.
Now fracturing or hydraulic fracturing has been done in Michigan for decades. There's been a type of fracking going on here since, I think, the 70s, if not before that. What's the difference between what's happening in northern Michigan and, frankly, all over the state compared to what's been happening in the last few many years?
The geological formations previously developed in Michigan have been considerably shallower than the formations companies like Encana are developing now in Michigan. They're about 2 miles down. Antrim shale wells, which are the conventional type of wells that access natural gas in Michigan previously, typically use about 10,000 gallons of water, if that. Most of those wells today are completed using gels and foams, not chemicals, not fresh water. The vast array of chemicals used in the new frack methods were never used in Michigan prior to a couple of years ago. The pressure used to complete the new frack wells is far greater. The sand used as proppant in the fractures in the new wells is in the millions of pounds.
That is an extraordinary difference in the manner in which we go about extracting this resource. In doing so, what is the threat to our most precious resource in the Great Lakes states, water?
Well, the threat to the water starts with the withdrawal. The withdrawals that are proposed in Michigan have not been seen before. As a matter of fact, I believe we are now third in the country for the most amount of water used in one well, and that would be the Encana 325 well in Kalkaska County, used over 21 million gallons of water to complete it. But their new applications, three of them, call for over 31 million gallons of water for each well.
Isn't this water, even though it's being used with chemicals, retreated, and they say it's not going to, I mean, can it be put back into the system?
There is no recycling program in Michigan right now.
So when it's extracted, it's just gone?
It's gone for good. It's permanently removed. Excuse me. And the chemicals that are introduced into it cannot be completely removed. Therefore, it has to go to an injection well.
Do we even know what the chemicals are that are being used? I mean, there's a whole array that are being used, but I don't think there's any requirement to identify each and every one.
No, actually, we don't know what all the chemicals are. The U.S. Congressional report identified over 730 chemicals used in the process. Many of them are carcinogenic. All of them are hazardous. Well, the ones that, besides the stuff that's under your kitchen sink that you'll hear about, everything else is pretty hazardous. And those chemicals can't be removed from the flowback that comes back, and 30 to 70% of it will come back.
So what do we do with that wastewater?
We take it to an injection well and pump it down into another well, which is far shallower than the formation it came out of.
So millions and millions of Michigan's fresh water is being used to extract natural gas in these wells. And in a headline in the Bridge magazine recently, it said, Canadian firm plans fracking campaign that could require 4 billion gallons of Michigan water. 4 billion gallons? How many wells are they intending to drill?
In Canada's most recent shareholder report, plans 500 wells for Michigan. And if those average somewhere between 20 and 25 million gallons of water per well, you're going to be looking at those numbers.
This is an industry in its infancy here in the state of Michigan. As you did your research with other states, did you find that there were adverse ramifications to the process, both to the environment, to the land, and to the water in those areas?
Oh, yes. There are a lot of widespread health issues. There's contamination issues. There's air quality issues. There's traffic issues. I mean, the truck trips alone are in the hundreds of thousands for, a developed gas field. And moreover, I mean, in places like Pennsylvania, the state land and the state parks there have been industrialized. If you look at a Google map picture of what Allegheny State Park looks like now, it's vastly different than it looked like 8 years ago.
So in the 500 proposed wells that Encana is looking at in northern Michigan, this is near Kalkaska, right?
I don't know where they're planning all 500 of them to be. Right now they're centered in Kalkaska County.
Okay, so give us a sense of what that does to a local area. I mean, and by the way, at local control, right, has been actually extracted from the municipalities and the townships in large part by the state. Is that correct?
That is true. House Bill 4746, I believe, amended the statute to remove local control for the location, drilling, and completion of oil and gas wells from local ordinances to the state. And they can, however, try to regulate ancillary processes that do come with that besides the location and the method of completion and the drilling.
I would imagine particularly the more remote and smaller municipalities don't really have a great grasp of what all those ancillary issues are. I know I certainly don't.
You are so right. In the area that I got started in up in Iosco County, it's primarily agricultural. And the farmers that leased their land thought probably the worst thing that would ever happen is the derrick would be out in the field. That's all that had ever happened before. But now we're talking a rig that's on site for about 60 days, constant noise, constant vibration. When that comes down, then there's fracking. That moves in all kinds of water, chemicals, trailers, pipes, diesel generators running constantly, 24/7, lots of lights. This goes on probably for another few weeks, and then everything settles down. But then you've got the trucks going in and out and in and out with all of the flowback that has got to be trucked to the injection wells. And that's what's happening right now in the middle of Kalkaska County, right along Sunset Trail.
I also get concerned about what goes on underneath. I mean, some of these are going to be 10,000 feet deep, and if they're on horizontal, that's covering a lot of land. What actually happens to the land above these shafts?
You know, we don't know, actually, what's going to happen. We're just getting started here in Michigan. I don't know what's going to translate to the surface when you run horizontals through bedrock and you run them about 900 feet apart from each other, which is what Encana is proposing now on something called the Resource Play Hub. And you obliterate the bedrock and you replace it with millions of gallons of water, sand, and chemicals. I don't know what that's going to do to the surface.
Jackie, how many of these companies that are actually doing the natural gas drilling are actually Michigan-based companies?
The major developers in Michigan right now are Encana, which is a Canadian company, and Rosetta Resources, which is a Texas company. None of the old school Antrim Shale developers in Michigan are undertaking deep shale right now.
You are listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and we're talking about fracking with Jackie Rose, who has taken an activist role in educating the public and governments about the risks associated with the process. My co-host for the segment is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lisa Wozniak.
When people think about fracking, I mean, most of the publicity is certainly on the national scale, and even here has been focused on Pennsylvania and New York and the Marcellus Shale and some of the movie Gasland. Is there as much vast natural gas in the state of Michigan as compared to other regions in this country?
That remains to be seen. We're just getting started here. The first well was permitted in 2010, and that was the Pioneer well. It's not in production. We've got four wells that are currently in production, but there's a lot of interest. There have been hundreds of thousands of acres leased, both privately and through the state in Michigan. So there is a lot of interest, but where that's going to go remains to be seen.
Let's assume for a moment that there is a tremendous reserve in Michigan and we become one of the states where this is prevalent. Are the economic benefits going to outweigh the potential environmental hazards?
The economic benefits to the state are they receive money, you know, if they lease the mineral rights at auction, and then they get a 1/6 royalty off what comes out of the well. But that's the financial gain for the state. But in terms of what the actual cost is to other industries like tourism, remains to be seen. I can't imagine a beneficial impact on tourism as a result of frack wells. And the quality of life in northern Michigan will change. It will change. The air quality will change. The quietness of it will change. The ability to recreate in areas that you normally would have gone fishing or hiking or camping in, that's going to change if it becomes widespread.
In looking at Michigan's rules and regs, and perhaps comparing them, you've done a ton of research. I mean, you know so much. How do they compare to other states, or have you done that kind of analysis?
I have. I truly cannot say that any one state has got a regulatory scheme that I would consider to actually cover all the bases that are presented by fracking. And Michigan does not either, in my opinion. We are not prepared to deal with this. We do have, you know, a very concise regulatory scheme for oil and gas development. We don't have an overall gas development plan. The sole judge of what constitutes an adverse resource impact to water in this state is the Water Withdrawal Assessment Tool. And that is a tool that was developed a few years ago by some very good people who did a lot of work. And it's a pretty amazing thing. It's a computer program that is designed to predict how much water will be diverted from a nearby river or stream by proposed withdrawal.
And result, and what impacts that will have.
Right. How much will that affect the flow of the water and the fish that live in the river? The fish are kind of like the canary in the coal mine for us here in Michigan. So, but the WAD is extracted. All of the drainage systems in Michigan, there's over 7,000 in the WAD, have all been extracted from about 147 actual gauges. So there's a lack of actual flow data on our rivers, especially in the headwaters areas in northern Michigan. And the WAT does not have any specific aquifer information or groundwater information. It cannot tell you if the water is actually available where you want to set down a well. And in Michigan, so far, I'm aware of four different wells that have not been able to get the water that was necessary to frack the well on the pad.
One of the things we do know is that from the federal level of government all the way down, the energy plan for America is to include natural gas. We are going to include that in our portfolio. So as we explore that here in Michigan, what's the solution for right now? Do we need to just hit pause and study it more, or do we move forward on a small scale, or do we halt altogether?
I would absolutely advocate to push pause on this at this time, to give us a chance to assess the health situations that are going on in other parts of the country, as well as get a regulatory scheme in place that can possibly hope to cope with what we may be facing here.
As you mentioned the chemicals used in this process, and one of the things that comes to mind for me is if we don't know what the chemicals are used well by well, and there is some kind of hazardous situation, how do our first responders deal with the situation? I mean, is that something that has been brought up at the state level, and how are you addressing that?
How am I addressing that? Well, I'm talking to fire departments, fire chiefs. This situation came up in Garfield Township in Kalkaska just a few days ago when first responders were called to the scene of the Garfield well, which they started flaring in a huge way on Saturday. And the first responders that I talked to afterwards Encana had not even notified them that this was going to happen. And they got calls from residents that were concerned by the flames in the forest, thinking that, you know, there was a huge forest fire starting. Now, when they got out there, they saw what it was, which was just a huge gas flare coming off a stack. But they don't know what's on that pad. They do not have a list of chemicals. They have no special training. They have no special gear. All of that's required if you're going to try to deal with the kinds of volatile hydrocarbons and chemicals that are stored on these sites.
So we have no solutions at this point on that front?
No.
If people want to get interested, more educated, and perhaps involved in taking an active interest in trying to help determine our energy future and how this process is going to play out in Michigan, what are some of the resources and what are some of the places people can go for that information?
All local units of government should investigate ordinance for all of the ancillary activities of gas and oil development, such as pipelines, air quality controls, roads, noise, vibration, compressor stations, injection wells. FLOW, which stands for Love of Water, at flowforwater.org, is spearheading assistance on this and can work with concerned citizens and their local officials on ordinance. There is a ballot initiative being headed up by Ban Michigan Fracking to place the question of whether fracking should be banned in Michigan on the ballot for 2014. You should contact the committee at letsbanfracking.org if you're interested in signing or circulating petitions for that. But raising public awareness through education and presentations can really help people begin the conversation knowledgeably about what we are actually facing in Michigan. And we can help you with that at farwatershed@gmail.com. And we have, you know, printed materials and PowerPoints to help you with that. And other organizations are also active on this issue. Sierra Club and Food and Water Watch have presentation materials and a lot of educational materials.
Jackie, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you making the drive into the studio today.
Thank you.
That is Jackie Rose. She is the Aaron Brockovich of fracking and our guest here on WEMU. My co-host for our first Friday Focus on the Environment segment is Lisa Wozniak. She is the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, we'll see you in September.
I look forward to it, David. Thank you.
I'm David Fair, and you're listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.